feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. On our last Searchlight program, we began looking at the story of Samson in Judges chapter 13. So far, we haven't even met Samson, because we spent most of last time looking at his parents. They were having an encounter with the Lord, who told them about a son that would be born to them. And this special son would be a Nazarite, that is, dedicated to the Lord for his entire life. As we pick up the story today, we see Manoah about to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Here now is Pastor John.
Well, Manoah took the kid with a meat offering or a meal offering, a grain offering, verse 19. He offers it on a rock to the Lord, to Jehovah. And the angel did wondrously. Manoah and his wife were watching, for it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar where this goat was cooking, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. What a trip. I mean, he's giving this kid and burning that up, and the angel of the Lord is caught up in the flame and ascends right up into heaven. Man, that would be a sight to see. Speaking of the sacrifice that was offered and the ascension that would take place, all picturing Jesus Christ, obviously, as this was offered on the rock. He is the rock of our salvation. And you can see further analogies as you think it through if you choose to. Well, he ascended right there in the flame from the altar. And Manoah, verse 20, says this last phrase, and his wife, they looked and they fell on their faces to the ground. They were just wiped out. The angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah or his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And he said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." In Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, it says, "No man can see God and what?" Manoah realized this isn't just a man or an angel. We've seen God. And they did. No man can see God and live. But you see, God became a man, the second person of the Trinity, and dwelt among us. "Show us the Father," Philip said, "and it will suffice us." And Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long? Don't you know that he that hath seen me hath seen the Father? I and the Father are one." You see, that's the way that we can truly see God, is to look at Jesus, God in the flesh. Manoah says, "Oh, we're going to die because we've seen God." Yes, but they saw the second person of the Trinity, you see. And that's not going to kill them physically. His wife, while he's freaked out, Manoah's going, "Oh no, we're going to die." His wife said, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meal offering at our hands, and he wouldn't have showed us these things. He wouldn't tell us we're going to have a baby if he's going to kill us, you big dope." So, she's more level-headed. I like this lady. You know, not only does she seem to be more spiritually perceptive, but she also appears to be more logical and level-headed too, quite frankly. "Honey, if we're going to die, well, then he wouldn't have told us we're going to have a baby. I mean, come on now. Put two and two together, you see." He's, "Oh, no, we're going to die." "Calm down, honey. You know, don't worry about it. We're okay." So the woman, verse 24, she did indeed bear a son and called his name Samson, which means literally shining as the sun. I like that. That's his name. He's going to shine as the sun. He is going to shine brightly. He's going to be a light to our people in these days of darkness, in these times of trouble, you see. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. This area, Zorah and Eshtaol, about 8 miles from Jerusalem towards Tel Aviv. It's as you're going from Jerusalem towards the Mediterranean Sea, towards the beach, if you would, about 8 miles from the city of Jerusalem, you're in this area. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him. Now, this is the source. Listen to me. This is the source of Samson's strength. The Spirit of the Lord began, as we're going to see, to come upon him. And that phrase will appear over and over again. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. The Spirit of God moves him. Samson's strength, the source of his strength, it was not his arms, bulging biceps, and powerful triceps. That's not it. Although with those arms, he took a jawbone of an ass, and he'll kill 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. But that's not the source of his strength, bulging biceps. Nor is it a well-developed and defined back. Although he puts a 2.5-ton city gate on his back, and he walks 4.5 miles, or perhaps 40 miles, depending on how you interpret it, with this 2.5-ton gate on his back. We're talking strong back. But that's not the, it's not even his hair. Although you know the story, where it's going, that will play into the losing of this strength ultimately. But that's not the source of the strength, actually. It's the Spirit of God. Personally, I do not think that Samson had a Charles Atlas kind of physique. I don't think you would look at Samson and say, wow, check out those shoulders. I wonder how much he can squat. Man, he must spend a lot of time at the gym. I think that Samson really did not look like the after picture, but the before picture. You've seen the before and after. I think that Samson looked very, very normal. Because later on, they're going to say, what's the deal? What's the secret of his strength? Come on, Delilah. They didn't say, man, get his workout program. Or what kind of protein is he taking in? They said, we don't understand. We don't get it. And you see, Samson wasn't identified in that way. They were trying to figure out, why is this guy so strong from time to time? And I suggest to you that it's very possible, if not likely, that when Samson walked down the street, you know, he wasn't a guy that would kick sand in the faces of others. You know, you would kick sand in his face. He was the 90-pound weakling, more than he would be the Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of guy, you see. The source of his strength was this. The Spirit of God came upon him. And that is what gave such unbelievable strength and power to him. Well, chapter 14. And Samson went down. Oh my. Here we go. Well phrased. Samson went down to Timnath. He went down to a Philistine city. I don't know what he's doing there. He's an Israelite. But here he goes. He's going down. Quite literally. He went down and he saw a woman. This could really kind of capsulize Samson's life. Samson went down and saw a woman. You know, he was a he-man with a she-weakness. He was a guy that could conquer Philistines but couldn't conquer his own passion and lust, sad to say. So he was this guy that goes down to Timnath one day and he sees a woman. And he came up and told his father, verse 2, and his mother, and said, now these are the first words of Samson. You know, the first words that we have coming from his mouth, it wasn't mama or dada. It's, I saw a woman. you see. First phrase that he utters, Samson's first quotation, I saw a woman. Man, and I want her. Get her for me. I saw a woman down there in Timnath, and man, she's a snap eye. And she caught my fancy, and I want her to be my bride. His father and mother, verse 3, said, Sammy, isn't there a woman among the daughters of your brothers, among our people? Do you have to take on a Philistine filly? Do you have to go for a Philistine lady? Quit horsing around, you know. Don't go there. Can't you find a woman here at church? Can't you find a woman who loves God? Can't you find a woman among your people, Samson? And so they pleaded with him, but Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Oh my. Samson's already showing chinks in his armor. He's not respecting his parents. He's not listening to his mother, to his father. I know better. I want that filly. I want her, you see. Get her for me. Set it up. Make it happen, Dad. Well, his father, his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. What Satan means for evil, God has a way of turning for good. And even though Samson is stupid here and rebellious, yet God can still use the situation to accomplish his purposes. So Samson went down and his father and his mother to Timnath to set this thing up. And they came to the vineyards of Timnath. Watch out, Samson. Watch out, family. You're not supposed to go there. You're supposed to stay away from vineyards and grapes and raisins and wine and all the rest, you see. But here he is, and guess what was there in the vineyard? A young lion roared against him. Now, you Bible students know that the lion, the roaring lion, is a symbol, a picture, a type of who? Satan. Be sober. Speaking of vineyards, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goes about as a what? Roaring lion. Seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, Peter says, because the roaring lion, the devil, wants to devour. Now, they're in a vineyard, not the place emblematically of sobriety, not a place where a Nazarite is supposed to be. And what is Samson going to encounter there? You got it. The roaring lion. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he rent him as he would rent a kid. There's an idea for a business. Rent a kid. No, I'm sorry. He took that lion and just ripped him in two as the Spirit of God came upon him. And he thrashed that lion, because you see, that is the key. The Spirit of God. Jesus, our Lord, beat back Satan in Matthew chapter 4. Satan tempted him, and Jesus said, it is written once, it is written again. And a third time he declared to Satan, it is written, and Satan fled away. Jesus was empowered, though, in Matthew 3, when he came out of the waters of baptism, the Spirit of God came upon him and empowered him. The Spirit of God came upon Jesus. Then in Matthew 4, the next event, he's tempted by the roaring lion, but he overcomes the enemy. I cannot overcome the enemy apart from the power of the Spirit upon my life. See, because the enemy is powerful, but greater is he that is in you than the one who comes against you, the one who is in the world. But the Spirit of God is the key. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So what are you suggesting, John? Just this. Call upon the Spirit. When you're aware that the lion is roaring at you, maybe because you're in a place where you really ought not to be, a vineyard, if you would. Hey, call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I can't survive this attack without you. call upon him. And even as Samson experienced, the Spirit of God came upon him, and Samson took that lion and ripped him in two. Now, he ripped him apart like he would have ripped a kid, you know, a little goat. And he didn't, though, tell his father or his mother what he did. They were ahead of him. They were on their way to set up this marriage that Samson was demanding. So he didn't tell them what he did. He went down then, verse 7, and he talked with the woman, his bride-to-be, and she pleased Samson well. So he's pleased. He's going to take on this Philistine filly, and he's going to have her to be his bride, and he's happy. Well, he goes back home while the arrangements are being made and the bride is getting ready. And after a time, he returned, verse 8, to take her. On his way back to Timnath, he saw where the carcass of the lion was. He wanted to see. He turned aside, we are told in verse 8, to check out the carcass of the lion that he had killed previously. Guys are like that, ladies. You know, wonder how that carcass looks, you know. Wonder how many worms are gnawing at it, or how many maggots are infesting it, you know. Did you hear that story? It's amazing to me, but last week in Australia, there was a big whale that was out in the water a ways, and it was dead. It was beached and dead and bloated and all the rest. And all these guys were going out in motorboats to climb on this dead, stinking, bloated, decaying whale. And bunches of guys, you know, tourists were out there, and Aussies and all the rest were out there on this whale. And the news is filming this, and the amazing thing about this is these men are out there, you know, intrigued by the whale decaying, you know, and out there on top of the whale. And these sharks, great white sharks, you know, are swarming around the whale too to eat at this whale carcass. And the guys are petting the sharks as the sharks are eating the whale. And so they had to send, you know, all of the Coast Guard kind of guys out there to get these tourists off the whale. And they made a law that day that shark petting is not allowed. Can you imagine that, going out and saying, oh, here's some great white, let's pet the sharks that are eating the whale here. But, whale. The point of all that is simply guys do that kind of stuff. And Samson was that way. And he wanted to see, I wonder what that lion is looking like, you know, at this time. How bloated he might be, or how gross it might be, or whatever. So he turns aside to check out the lion. It's kind of a guy thing. Behold, amazing, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. So, hey, it's not maggots or worms. Bees have moved in. And bees have made this hive there, and there's honey. So he took thereof in his hand. Now, again, he's not supposed to be around grapes. He's already walking through a vineyard. He's not supposed to touch any dead thing. But this seems to be so sweet, you see. This isn't putrid. We're not talking maggots or worms. We're talking honey. Ah, she's a honey, you see. It's okay if I date her. She's a honey. Or, hey, watch out. You're going to get stung. Samson here thinks it's okay. This is... I know I'm not supposed to touch dead things, but hey, this is a sweet thing, you see. So he reaches in, and he went on eating. And then he came, verse 9, to his mom and dad, and he gave them, and they also ate. They thought, oh, how sweet. He found some honey. He didn't tell them where the honey came from, a dead carcass, that a Nazirite was absolutely forbidden to be touching for any reason whatsoever. So he didn't tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Well, verse 10, his father went down to the woman, and Samson there made a feast. So now the time of the wedding is happening. But in those days, the feast, the party, wasn't simply for a couple of hours like our receptions are. It was a week-long celebration. You partied for a week before the actual ceremony. So the celebration, the feast has started, and the young men would do that. They would hang out, verse 10, for that 7-day period of time. It came to pass, when they saw him, they got 30 companions, or we would say today groomsmen, to be with him. He's an Israelite, and they're Philistines, And so they found 30 of their guys to stand in and be part of his wedding party, his groomsmen, his ushers, or whatever. Now, it was a tradition in those days, like it is in our day, for the groom, if you would, to give the groomsman a little trinket, you know, or some kind of a little deal. You know, you give him a popsicle or a cufflink or, you know, something. And so in those days, too. Now, Samson was kind of cheap, and he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to give these 30 guys, you know, some kind of a groomsman's gift. So what he does, he says, I'll tell you what, guys, let's do this. I'm going to tell you a riddle, verse 12. If you can tell me the answer to the riddle during these 7 days of this feast, this party, then I will give you 30 shirts and 30 changes of garments. I will give you guys new shirts, a new suit, if you would. Each one of you. If you can figure out the answer to my riddle, you'll each get a fresh, clean change of clothes. But, he says, if you don't, if you cannot, verse 13, tell me, then you have to give that to me. That is 30 shirts and change of garments. Deal? Deal. So they said, okay, what's the riddle? And here was the riddle, verse 14. He said, here's the riddle. Out of the eater came forth food. Out of the eater came forth food, yep. And out of the strong came forth sweetness. Out of the eater comes food, and out of the strong comes sweetness. Strong and sweet don't fit together, and eater and food, how can that be? And they could not in 3 days figure out the riddle. It came to pass, verse 15, on the seventh day, they said unto Samson's wife, the bride, hey, entice your husband that he will declare to us the answer to the riddle, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you not called us to take that we have? Is this not so? In other words, hey, you set us up for this, lady. That's why you roped us into being Sammy's groomsman, so that he could rip us off of 30 shirts and 30 suits. And that makes us angry, and we're burned. And if you don't get the answer from your husband and tell us so we can give him the answer before the 7 days are over, if you don't do it, we're going to burn you and burn your house too. Your family is going to go up in flames. Well, verse 16, what does she do? She wept before him and said, you don't love me, you hate me. You have put a riddle to the people of my country, and you haven't told me the answer. And he said, behold, I haven't even told my dad or my mom. Why should I tell you, woman? Well, she, verse 17, wept before him the rest of the 7 days, the 4 days that were following this encounter with those angry groomsmen.
Unfortunately, we don't have time to finish the story on today's program, but it is obvious that it's not headed in a good direction. Please join us on our next program as we see what happens in this story and what we can learn from it. We'll see you then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
In addition to hearing good Bible teachings, it is also helpful to read of God's love, grace, mercy, and truth. For this reason, we have made available the John Corson Application Commentary Set. There are 3 volumes of these written commentaries, 2 covering the Old Testament and 1 covering the New Testament. The commentaries are based on John's teachings, so they contain the same insightful and practical Bible studies you hear on the Searchlight radio program. If you would like to order any or all of these commentaries, you can do so through the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.